Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Yes, fantastic. It's good. It's good for me to be able to welcome you all to worship this morning. And if I haven't said already to you all, Happy New Year. And we look forward to a good year of worship together. It's my privilege this morning, in the absence of other people, to be able to welcome our guests to lead us as they come to share and lead us in worship and worship with us this morning. They're familiar people to many of us, but if there aren't any people who don't normally worship with us, we welcome you this morning. But we have with us today our divisional leaders, Majors Derek and Susan Jones. They come to us from our divisional headquarters at Norwich, so travelled down from there today to come and share with us and worship with us and lead us in worship. So I'm sure Felixstowe Corps would like to welcome our guests for this morning as they come and be part of our family this morning. Would you welcome us?
Well, thank you, David, for that very warm welcome. It's always a joy to be in God's house. It's a special joy for us to be here today on this, the first Sunday of the year, the first Sunday of a new decade. And who knows what might happen as we place ourselves in God's hands in these days. Well, it is traditionally our commitment Sunday, and we'll be focusing on that as we share together in worship. I too want to say good morning. I've tried to get round and shake hands with everybody, but I know that we've missed a few, so apologies for that, but it's lovely to be together, and I wish you a very happy and blessed new year. I'd like us to just share together in a very simple call to worship. The words will appear for us on the screen, and I'd like you to just read the text in bold print if you're able to see it. I hope you are. So here's our call to worship. A new day has dawned, a new year begun. O Lord, call us so we may hear your voice. The world turns to hopes and dreams of the future. O Lord, keep us in your ways and on your path. We enter this new year with hope and excitement. O Lord, remind us that you lead us. O Lord, guide us as we look to you and worship you. Amen. Well, it's always great to start a Sabbath day looking at strong truths, and it's a great song that we're going to sing. The band have reminded us the tune. It's song number 37 if you're using the songbook. Immortal, invisible God, only wise in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. We've heard the tune, so we'll stand if we're able, and we'll go straight in and sing the song straight through. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
I'd like you to just look at one verse from the scripture. It's John chapter 1 and verse 14. Words that we've heard repeatedly over the Christmas period, over the Advent period. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Just think about that for a moment. The Word became flesh. This immortal God became flesh. This invisible God came as a baby to show us the truth about God. This God who is mighty and victorious and unchanging and unresting has come to live amongst us. And we praise him and we thank him for who he is and for all he means to us and all that he can do for us. And last week, as we worshipped in our home core, which would be Norwich Citadel, we were challenged to think about whether Mary, when she was cradling the baby Jesus, understood the implications of cradling the Son of God. Did she know that this great, mighty, majestic, powerful God was in her arms? So I just want you to just watch a little video clip with a very beautiful song entitled Mary, Did You Know? it's Advent season. Who is he in yonder stall? Psalm 158, we'll use this as we prepare for prayer. Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? It's the Lord. It's the great I am. The great I am who rules over heaven and earth. I think we'll sing, if we can, Tom, verse 1. Verse 4 and verse 6. It's on 158. If you're using the songbook, we'll have a few bars of introduction and we remain seated as we sing. Thank you. Father, we thank you that you became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you for the gospel story of your love and your grace and your mercy, of your healing power. And we want to praise you this morning for who you are. We thank you for every facet of your nature that we have experienced or are experiencing or can expect to experience in the days which lie ahead. We thank you that you can be to us anything that we would want you to be. In fact, you could be infinitely more than all we can expect or hope or imagine. And we pray, Father, today that we might fall at your feet in worship, praise, and adoration, and with thanksgiving for all that we experience because of this wondrous story. And we thank you that we are part of that wonderful story too. And so we pray your presence with us here this morning. As we worship you, we ask that you would inspire us, encourage us, comfort us, challenge us, invite us to know you more perfectly than we know you now. And we make this very simple prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we gather together to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, it's lovely to be here, and it's lovely to see some young folk with us today. I want to just share something for you this morning. Now, just after Christmas, we had family staying with us, and we went out to a garden centre. That's the new third space. That's where you want to go if you want to meet with people. We don't go to buy flowers at the garden centre. We go to have a coffee and a nice scone and see what special bargains we can pick up. We saw a great plaque for sale in the Thetford Garden Centre. I think I'm supposed to say other garden centres are available now, aren't I, or something like that. But we saw this great plaque, and it was a little wooden plaque, and it said, Christmas forecast. 99% chance of socks. So, who got socks for Christmas? Yeah? Okay. Who bought someone else socks for Christmas? Okay. Who got a new scarf for Christmas? I got two. Yeah? Who got new pants? Oh, well done. What a brave man sitting on the front row. Who got new gloves for Christmas? Yeah, good, excellent. Well, I got some new gloves. They weren't a gift. I had to buy them myself because I realised that when I needed to go out caroling, I'd lost my navy blue or my black gloves. So I bought some new gloves. They were very cheap. They were 99 pence. So I bought two pairs. I brought them with me. I could have done with them this morning. I was shaking hands because I was a little bit chilly. So I bought these gloves. And they're very nice, very smart, and I'll try not to lose. I think I could do with one of those pieces of elastic that you used to have when you were children. Put them through my coat so I don't lose them. Well, I showed Derek my new gloves, and he said, those are really lovely. I think I'd like a pair. So I said, well, I haven't got any money left now, so perhaps you'd like to have this glove. Okay. So, mine fits perfectly. It fits like a glove. What about yours?
Mine fits like a glove too.
Oh, right. Perfect. Okay. Right, I'm going to just take mine off and I'm going to pick on somebody this morning. He's looking away and I'm heading straight towards him. You've got bigger hands than me and Derek. Could you just put this glove off? You have to stand up and wave now. Aren't they? They're called magic gloves. So they fit me and they fit Major Derek. And if there was a giant in the room, they'd. Oh! Any person, any size. I wanted to bring those today because I wanted to just share with you something that's very, very important. This is not just for the children, this is for everybody. When we think about God's word, and we've already read some verses from the scripture, and we'll look at some more later. When we look at that, there are some people who would say, oh, you know, we can do anything by magic. But just in our daily reading yesterday, we read, the word of God is more powerful than any magic formula. Listen to that again. The word of God is more powerful than any magic formula. And I share that with you this morning because there's a verse in the scripture that reminds us of something very significant. Those gloves will fit any person, any size, any age. There's a verse in the scripture that reminds us that God has provided grace for any circumstance, any situation in life. And when the Apostle Paul was really struggling with a difficult problem that he couldn't get rid of, he asked God to take it away. And God said to him quite simply, my grace My grace, somebody's finishing it off for me. My grace is sufficient for thee. So for every person, you could borrow my gloves and use them, I think. But for everyone here, for this coming year, there is grace sufficient for every circumstance, every situation in which you might find yourselves. And I want you to remember that today. God's grace is sufficient for all of us and all the world and all circumstances of life. And whether the year ahead be good or bad, we can't know that. But we do know that we have his grace with us. And we're going to sing a lovely song. It's a new song in our songbook. It's part of the Songster repertoire. I'm hoping that some of you will know it. It's song 699. And it's a great song to make at the start of the year. Every promise we can make, each prayer and step of faith, every difference we can make is only by his grace. And the chorus says, grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth. We'll go forth into this new year by grace alone. I'm going to suggest the band plays the verse and the chorus for us, for those who are not familiar, and then we'll sing the song straight through. Thank you. A beautiful tune. It's just a disappointment there are only two verses, but we'll sing the first verse and chorus, then we'll sing the second verse, and as we sing the chorus of the second verse, let's just all stand together as we sing. Off we go then. Thank you.
Thank you.
be seated. You sang that as if you really, truly believed it. Whatever you're going to do in these days ahead, grace will be your sufficiency.
I need to say a word of thanks to you for all that you're doing in these days when you haven't got a full-time leader. Thanks for the support you're giving to the leadership team. That's much appreciated. And thanks for stepping up to the jobs that sometimes don't get done unless somebody points you at them. It's really great to know that the Corps is flourishing in lots of ways. And I do want to say thank you for all that you're doing. You may think you have a very small part to play, but without that part, the job wouldn't be complete. The jigsaw wouldn't be complete, but for the part that you play. So I want to say thanks to you for that. The band are going to play for us in just a moment. And I wanted to tell you just a little story about a little boy who went to his granny's for tea. And mums are sometimes anxious about their children when they go to granny's house in case they don't behave very well. So granny said to the little boy, do you want salad? He said, no. So mum said, no what? He said, no salad. She wanted him to say thanks, but he didn't. And we should come with a grateful heart before God, because he has supplied us with so much. Grace upon grace, which is sufficient for us. And the band are going to play for us a beautiful little tune, which talks about us giving thanks. Give thanks to God in every situation, in all that we do. So my thanks to the band for your ministry this morning, and for ministering to each of us, and reminding us of our gratitude to our great and glorious God. So let's just listen and be ministered to by the band as they play for us, Give Thanks.
It's me this morning and not John, and unfortunately John and Rosie can't be with us this morning. John and Rosie were initially going to be away with their grandchildren. But I just I had a message from John this morning, and he just asked me to just share it with you, because I think he would like to be in our prayers over the coming week. And the message from John was this. Rosie and I expected to be in Oxford today, celebrating an extra Christmas day with our daughters and grandchildren. But sadly, it hasn't happened. I woke up yesterday with severe muscle pain in my left arm, making the arm useless in doing anything. So I couldn't change gear or drive, so we've had to stay at home. I've already had some excellent treatment with more to come, so there should be great improvement over the next few days. My prayers are with you in worship this morning, and that you'll feel the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's presence. But I would like us just to consider John and Rosie also in our prayers, because as Major Derek has just suggested, there's a number of you that are doing so much within our Corps as part of the leadership team, and I'm sure we're all very grateful to John and Rosie for all they do within our church as well. So I just would like us just to remember them in your prayers this week as we go forward. Luckily it's me this morning doing the announcement, so I'd like to offer John's customary welcome to join us for tea and coffee in the community hall afterwards. And if you're able to, it'd be fabulous to have you with us at open air. For those of you who come along to open air, you'll be aware that we actually have a second service really out in the street, joining the band and those of you that come out and join us. So we really appreciate you being with us as we go out to do our open air. I'd also like to just highlight that next week as well, we just wondered if you could bring any Christmas money that you haven't spent. I might bring that with you next week, because next week we're going to have a retiring collection to support the Salvation Army's work in Australia. It was announced just recently that obviously Joanne and Nigel in Australia did the support for the Salvation Army, and Nigel had gone off to be part of the support team that supports the fire service and emergency workers out in Australia as they're battling the horrific fires that are going on. But the Salvation Army have set up a GoFund page if you'd like to donate online. However, wouldn't it be fabulous as a church congregation for us to be able to support Joanne and Nigel and their work in the Salvation Army? So next week we'll be having a retiring collection for the work of the Salvation Army volunteers who are supporting the emergency services out in Australia. So please, if you've got any money left, please bring that with you. This evening we will have an evening meeting. Gemma will be leading us at 5:30. Next week, the Oasis Cafe is back open again, and this week it's soup and baked potatoes. So, you know, for those of you looking to kind of, you know, change your diet after Christmas, worth coming along to the Oasis Cafe. If you look through the notices, you'll see a long list of notices that are coming up. For example, Lads and Ladies Bible Study are meeting again this week. And if you'd like to join them, Anne Hall leads that group. And also, I'd just like to highlight that on Sunday the 26th of January, in the evening, the Church's Together service will be held. And it's going to be held here in this hall. Now, we have a community choir on those evenings, and so if you'd like to be part of that community choir, if you'd like to speak to Kevin after the service, there are some rehearsals. The details are in the brochure that you've been given as you've walked in. So if you fancy having a sing in the United service, that would be great. But if you could speak to Kevin, that'd be great as well. I just want to highlight as well, if you've picked up and haven't had a chance to look through it, all the Sunday services that are being led by various people over the next 3 months are all listed for us, which shows fabulous planning by our leadership team, but also enables us to pray for our guest speakers, pray for those speakers from within our church who will be leading us, just to pray for them before those Sunday meetings. You've got them all listed there, so put them on your calendar and you'll know who's coming up. I also just wanted to flag as well that there will be a Thanksgiving service for the life of Margaret Smythe coming up over the next week. Now, it's on Wednesday, and the service will be held at the Seven Hills Crematorium in Nacton at 11:15. The details are in there. But one of the key things I'd like to highlight is, and this is something perhaps that goes unseen, but we're really grateful to the members of our congregation that go out and visit people as well during the week. I remember my grandparents who are majors. My nan always said the first thing you do as a Salvation officer is make sure you've got the visit list worked out and you go and see your congregation out in amongst the area. It's one of the pastoral gifts that you have as officers. But obviously we're really grateful to people like Bill and June who go out and visit people. So thank you very much on behalf of the Corps for all the work that you do. But the reason I mention it is that actually, you know, they played a big part in visiting Margaret, and so we thank you for that. But also just wanted to thank that we've been also been really grateful that Margaret's son and daughter, Ken and Val, have been worshipping with us. They've been worshipping with us since the carol service, actually, and been joining us in worship in our church. So we thank you very much for your time and for coming here. But if you're unable to attend that service, but would like to pray for the family and pray for Doug as he leads that remembrance service, then please just remember them in your prayers as well. And now we'll... obviously, children, if you'd like to go out to your service now. If it's okay, we'll just pray for you before you depart. Dear Lord, we just pray for the work of our children's ministry team and our youth team as they organise and prepare the second stage of worship that will be going on in our church here today. We just pray that your spirit will be with them, and for all the message and the fun and the activities and discussions that go on, that they're God-centered and that you're very much part of the lives of the children and youth who are there worshipping outside of this main hall. Amen. And while they depart, if you'd like to take part in the offering, we'd be very grateful. Thank you.
Lord, you are a faithful God, and you have provided so much for us. We simply say thanks this morning and offer to you our gifts, praying that as we have offered them to you, so you would take them and break them and multiply them and feed many thousands with your grace and your peace and your salvation. So bless our gifts, we pray, but more than that, bless the givers, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn to Scripture and to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, and we share together from verse 14 through to verse 21. Paul writes this because he knows that the Ephesians are having a tricky time, and he himself has been under severe pressure. And so he writes, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. May it be so.
Well, that scripture verse really forms the basis of our theme for Commitment Sunday this year. We're thinking about the theme, infinitely more. God can be infinitely more than anything you could imagine. He can do infinitely more than anything that you could imagine. He can be infinitely more. So we want to think about that a little later in our meeting. Well, I had a little banter with John this morning before the meeting started, just reminding ourselves it was the first Sunday of the new year. We were in the right place at the right time on the right day. And I was recounting that yesterday we were out having a little cup of coffee in another garden centre, not cuts this time, and got a free one too, because we're very old and we've got a card that says we get a free one. And there were a couple in front of us trying to use their discount card to pay for a meal and look very disappointed when the young girl said, "Oh, you can't use that today because it's the weekend." And he said, "Is it? Is it not Friday today?" And we kind of get that feeling, don't we, at this time of the year. What day is it? I've no idea what day. But we're in the right place at the right time. And on this first Sunday of the new year, it's good to do a little bit of that Janus thing. You know, the god Janus had two faces. Now, I'm not suggesting that we be two-faced, but he used one to look back and one to look forward. I think that's a good thing to do, isn't it, at the start of this new year. So we're going to turn to a lovely song. It's song 816 if you're using the songbook. And we're going to use this song, and we're just going to spend some moments in between each of the verses doing a little bit of reflecting. We're going to acknowledge, first of all, that God has been gracious to us. What a beautiful choice of song to play, "Faithful God." He's been faithful to us, has he not? But we want to just take a few moments to sing this verse and to acknowledge our thanks to him for his goodness, for his grace, for his work in our lives, for the good things that have happened, and dare I say, for some of the bad things that have enabled us to rely on him a little bit more. So is the band playing or the piano playing? The band are playing. So what we'll do, Ben, we'll sing the first verse, and then I just want anyone who feels that they want to shout out something they want to thank God for this morning, we'll just take a few moments so you can just voice your prayer of thanks. But let's sing together after an introduction, "Lord, for the years your love has led and guided." Thank you. Thank you. just shout out something you're grateful for today. Yeah, there's been some rain. That's really encouraging news. Thank you. Family, how important they are to us.
Freedom of worship.
Freedom to worship. Something that we don't often think about as we ought. Many people are not able to worship as we are.
Hospitals and doctors.
Hospitals and doctors. We don't think about them until we need them, do we, sometimes? But thank you for good care that we receive. Anyone else? Oh, very shy this morning. Okay, let's sing the second verse. Lord, for your word, the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to sing this verse, and then After we've sung this verse, there are quite a few people who've just been given a verse of scripture, not in any order, so we might get two voices going at once, but just some, what I consider to be really strong truths from the Bible. And so when we've sung the second verse, those of you who've got a slip, just take your moment and read out in your best Sunday loud public speaking voice that verse of scripture. The second verse together then. Lord, for that now to some of those strong truths.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29, verse
11. My grace is sufficient for you, for the power is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
God does not call the qualified, but he does qualify the called.
Well, that's a great truth, isn't it? Not from Scripture directly, but that's a great truth. He doesn't call the qualified. He does
by
qualify the called.
By all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. God supplies all our needs.
I will do anything through him who gives me strength.
Right. Now, I think we'll have those two separately. So the person at the back, if you read yours, and then the person who is a bit nearer read yours, then we just get the full benefit of those truths. Thanks.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you.
I can do anything through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13.
Well done. Thank you.
Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Mark 10:27.
Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commands.
There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
By the opposite, I would say.
God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble.
Yeah.
Psalms 46:1.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1.
The word of God, it cheers us, it inspires us, sometimes it chastises us, but it gives us renewed strength and hope. Well, we're going to sing verses 3 and 4, and as we sing these verses, I just want us to be mindful of some of the situations rife in our world today. We've heard a little bit about Australia. We think of our brothers and sisters Salvationists. Many of them will be suffering, and some will be giving succour and hope. We think of that situation in Iraq, and we just wonder about the wisdom of tweeting about conflict on a public forum. We think of increased crime, knife crime. We think of our local regional news. There have been quite a few stories over Christmas, haven't there, of murders that have taken place. We live in communities where there are pockets of darkness, and we just want to bring those before him as we sing verses 3 and 4 together. Thank you, Ben. In a moment to stand, but the fifth verse links beautifully with the two previous verses. We want that Christ will reign. We want that people would not be oppressed. We would not want people to suffer injustice. We don't want people to live in darkness, feeling hopeless. And so because we want that to change, we make this beautiful prayer, Lord, for ourselves in living power, remake us. Past put behind us for the future. Take us, who we are, what we have to say, what we can do, what we can give, however small and insignificant it might seem. Take us and use us to live for Christ alone. We'll stand as we sing the last verse, and then Major Derek is going to pray with us. Thank you.
All that we need, and we offer our thanks to you once again. We pray that we might ever be thankful people. We recognize that your word is like a two-edged sword, both defending and allowing us to attack evil. Will you help us to remember your word, to find it as a solace and a means of encouragement? We would pray for the needs of our world. We bring those things before us, before you, which concern us. World situations as well as those local things, and we offer them to you, knowing that your great grace is sufficient for every place. And we pray that you will take us and shape us and use us, and we might serve you alone. For we make these prayers in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Well, it's great to have the songsters with us, and we're always blessed by the music of our sections. What a treasure we have within the Salvation Army. the quality of music that we're able to bring to worship, and not only the quality but the sincerity of it. And the songsters are going to sing for us quite an old song, but actually a song which speaks about our dependency upon our God. And they're going to bring to us now a beautiful song called By His Hand. Thank you, Kevin, for your choice of song, and thank you, songsters, for reminding us about that place where our direction comes from. For a number of years, underneath the Christmas tree, there was one of these. Would anyone recognise what that might be? A Toblerone. Other chocolate bars are available, my wife says. It is a Toblerone. It's not pretend Toblerone. It's a real Toblerone. You're not having it because it's ours. Actually, it's halfway eaten. I had to sellotape it back together, which is why it's in wrapping paper. My brother-in-law would buy for Susan every year a chocolate bar that looked precisely like this and wrap it up. And every year he would say, "I bet you can't guess what that is." And every year she did. I wonder whether in these days we become so familiar with the gifts that God gives us that we forget to get excited about them. We forget that He can still surprise us with the gifts that he gives us. This wasn't a surprise. It was a Toblerone every year. It wasn't a surprise. But God does still surprise us. Annie Johnson Flint writes, "His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth." And if the tune fitted, "and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again." He just keeps on giving. God is willing to keep giving. Which is a very simple statement, but a mind-blowing concept for us. Do you want a Toblerone?
Thank you.
It actually is Susan's. If you want to know, the white ones are the ones to buy for her. Just in case you need that for future information. But God's generosity to us in these days is a mind-blowing concept. This is our commitment Sunday. And we are concentrating, as we've already heard, upon that lovely reminder that there is infinitely more that we might enjoy. Infinitely more that God has available for us, which is a simple statement but a mind-blowing concept. What might we expect in the days to come? What more has God to offer to us, we ask. This generosity, which is infinitely more than we can ask for, expect, or even imagine, is what St. Paul was reminding us of in Ephesians 3. So I wanted just to suggest very briefly a couple of things where we might expect infinitely more. Our God is infinitely available. He is always available. He's never off duty. He is an ever-present God. Now, many years ago, I heard an officer speak about omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, and they were really grand words. But as I've grown up, I've learned to understand that God is always there. Moses has to say to God, just before they go into the promised land, a phrase of scripture, Exodus 33, which has become a very beautiful songster song. "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Don't allow me to move on unless I go with you. Yes, he leadeth us." We need his presence. There's a recognition from Moses that anything done outside the will of God, anything done outside that presence of God, will be wasted effort. But God promises to go with us. We are never unattended. We are never under-resourced. Those of you who are old enough remember the chorus that said, "God is still on the throne. He never will leave us alone." Now, I had a brother. He used to tease me until I got bigger than him. And then he stopped teasing me for some reason. But my mother would say to my brother, "Leave Derek alone." Which was great. But God does not leave us alone. He does not desert us. Jesus says in one of the final things that he says on earth, "I will be with you even to the end of the age." Surely I am with you even to the end of the age. We want to know that someone's there for us. Now, perhaps you have someone who is close to you. You might have a relative who lives nearby and you know that you can call on them. Or you may have a neighbour who pops in just to make sure you're still okay. You may have a special friend you know you could ring any time of day or night because they're there for you. For us Christians, there's an even more potent realisation that Christ has promised to be with us. It was true in the Old Testament for Moses. It was true in the New Testament for the disciples. It is equally true for you and I that we have an infinitely available God. The Holy Spirit who walks with us all the time, in every place. I remember an interview with the Archbishop of New York just after the 11th of September. He was being interviewed and he said, "Many people have asked me, where was God on that day?" He said, and I reply, and it's still true today, God was right there on that aeroplane. God was right there in that block of offices. God was right there at ground zero. God was right there with the firefighters. God was right there with the mortuary attendants. God was there. We have felt on many occasions the presence of God. I pray that you might always be sensitive to God's presence working in you and through you. That you might be aware constantly that God is instantly and infinitely available to you. Never doubt the presence of God, his infinite, immeasurable availability. But more than his availability, he is infinitely able. The God who can create planets and ants and elephants is the God who's able to do anything. Many years ago, the Jones household acquired a computer, an Amstrad 8256. You remember it? You had to put a floppy disk in to make it work, and you had a green screen, and it was all dots. It was awful. But it had a special button on it that my wife always seemed to manage to find. It was called the disobedience button. Okay. The computer did its own thing. And she was very frustrated with it. Our son, who was then 7 or 8, heard her cry of anguish. He said, "Mum, let me do it." And he sat down and he pressed the obedience button on the computer. Have you got one on yours? Because as soon as he did that, the computer did what it was supposed to do. You know, we as human beings seem to forget that there is somebody who is in control. There is someone who has the ability to put things right. It was a terrible shock when my wife and I discovered that our son knew more about computers than we did. What a deflating moment that is, when you discover that someone knows more than you do. But God knows more than we do. He is in control. He is able to do things that we can only imagine. We're very reluctant to admit our shortcomings, our failings, our fears, our inadequacies. We show a distinct reluctance to allow the one who does know what he's doing to take control. God created us. He understands us. He wants us to do what he asks us to do because that is his good and perfect will for us. And yet we show this reluctance to allow God to act in our lives. We're going to sing a chorus in a few moments' time which says, "He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today." What a simple statement, yet what a profound thing that we might act on. He is able. We should never doubt his ability or his willingness to assist us. We need power in our lives to do the things he asks us to do and to resist the things he doesn't want us to do. There is no limit to that power. There is no boundary to what God can accomplish. It was God's power at work that parted the Red Sea. Read Exodus chapter 14 for the story. It was God's power at work that crumbled the walls of Jericho. Read Joshua chapter 6 if you want that story. It was God's power at work that allowed the disciples to catch 153 fish after an unsuccessful fishing trip. Read John 21 for that one. It was God's power at work which enabled Jesus to feed 5,000 people. All four Gospels, Matthew 14 is the example I would give. If God was able to do those things then, do we doubt he can do those things for us now? Many years ago, I was asked by someone if I believed that God created the world in 6 days. I think they wanted to know if I was a creationist. And I replied then what I would still say now. I don't think he did do it in 6 days, but he could have done if he'd wanted to. He could have done if he'd wanted to. His power is such that there is no limit to it. There is nothing in all creation, neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, neither place nor time, no phenomena that can overcome the power of God working in us. John Newton wrote over 2 centuries ago, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." As we launch into this year of service for him, serving God well, will you keep in mind his presence and his power, his availability and his ability? And very briefly, I want to mention God's approachability. We went to Sandringham a few months ago, and the guide was telling us that still today, servants and dignitaries have to reverse out of the presence of Queen Elizabeth. Did you know that? You aren't allowed to turn your back. You have to walk backwards out of the Queen's presence. Now, I don't know where that came from. Who started that tradition? Is she comfortable with folk reversing out of her presence? I don't know. I'd love to ask her. I may not get the chance, but I'd love to ask. You know, we have a God who doesn't ask us to reverse out of his presence. He doesn't ask us. He doesn't expect. He doesn't insist upon that formality. He invites us into a relationship with him. Just as the disciples on the Emmaus Road discovered, a God who comes alongside them and wants a conversation. This was a God who was able to cook breakfast on the beach for them. This was not a high and mighty God. God wants us to stop and chat with him. I had a lovely story recently of a little girl. She was very good at saying her evening prayers. Her mum always made sure that she would say prayers before she went to sleep. And one evening, the little girl had had a very busy day. And her prayer went something like this. "Dear Jesus, I've had a really busy day. Can I tell you about it in the morning? Because I need to go to sleep." Now, that's the sort of relationship that we need to build with God. Imagine going into the kitchen in your house. And here's what you say. "Oh, blessed and skillful creator of all things comestible, I beseech thee that thou shouldst provide for me the knowledge of what liquid sustenance and body fluid I may receive, that I may sustain myself for the hours to come." Or, of course, you could say, "What's for tea?" God asks us to enter into a relationship with him where he is both our brother and our king. He's an approachable God. There is no place and no time in which he says he is not available. There is no place and no time in which he is not able. And there is no place and there is no time in which he is not approachable. If 2020 is to be a great year for us, as a corps, as a division, as an army, we need to allow him to do infinitely more in us and through us and with us, and not despite us. We need to rely upon his availability, which is his presence. We need to learn about his ability, which is his power. And we need to learn about his approachability, which is about our prayer life. And then we will be transformed. You'll see here on the mercy seat our commitment cards. Which says about infinitely more. Our time has nearly gone. But there may be those of you who would want just to come and claim a card. You may just want to linger before the mercy seat and make your commitment to God in these days. You may feel it's right and proper that you take it home with you and pray about what you might do to trust God more for the days to come. This might be the time and might not be the time and place for you to make that commitment. But I'd want every heart in this building this morning to allow God to work in you a little more. And we're going to sing that chorus. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He's able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. I want you to know that for a truth. And just as we sing the chorus through a couple of times, take your opportunity just to come, to ponder, to linger, or simply to claim this card with the sincere promise that you will do something about it in the days to come. And God will do infinitely more in each one of us. So let's sing together and let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak through our hearts in these days. It's 836, but I'm trusting these words are familiar to you. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
And Lord, just in these quiet moments, we pray that we might know with certainty that you are a God who can do more than we can ever think or imagine. Will you take our commitments this morning, we pray? Will you cement them into our hearts so that this won't just be a one moment in one day of one year, but it might be a concerted effort to bring your kingdom in better in our own lives and in your church. Help us to discover more of your infinite love and power in our lives, we ask. We pray this in your name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to go out singing. Our final song is number 843. We're going to sing first the first and the last verse of the song, which says, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why, unworthy of such grace, he claimed me for his own. But this is not a God of uncertainty. This is a God of certainty. We know that we've committed to him things which he will cherish and flourish and grow. And that those things we've committed, he will use for his glory. And the final verse reminds us that we have no idea what the rest of this year will hold. But we do know that God will go with us. And that as we trust him with our lives, with our resources, with our hopes, so we will find great grace. So verse 1 and verse 4 of Song 843. Thank you, Ben. May the God of grace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great year. May God use you mightily for his service.